Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Before you ask, the tongue is still effed up. It's still messed up, so I know. Probably shouldn't be here, but here we are. Back at it again. I couldn't miss this night. I had to be here tonight. This is a good night to do talk radio. Good to be here. And so, ta-da! Here we are. Making radio magic. And I recorded a podcast earlier that will be up on Friday, which also was not a good idea. So I've actually been talking all day. I have been talk. So here's the Maller monologue. Blah, 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 blah. And final point, blah, 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 blah. There it is, right there, done. Thank you very much. No, the Thursday night game, we'll start with that. Why? There's a couple reasons. I can't get into them on the air right now, but we'll just start with the Rams game. Because the NFL is number one. Yeah, it is top of the heap, and I don't know if you saw the game or not. Let's just say my right hand was getting a workout because I was going back and forth between the baseball game at Chavez Ravine and the game in Seattle at the stadium there, and I was all over the place. And the good thing is I don't think I saw very many commercials. I think I pretty much just saw game action, because what I did was when a game went to commercial, I just flipped to the other game. It's a veteran move. I think that's what everyone does. But Russell Wilson was marvelous. Seattle was on the ropes. And it's not always important to be the better team. It's important to be the lucky team. And that is exactly what happened to Seattle, as they get a one-point win, 30-29, as the Seattle Seahawks defensively had some major issues against a what many people had said was a suspect Los Angeles Rams offense, but the Rams were able to matriculate the ball down the field. Greg Zuerlein had an opportunity to be the hero and kick the game-winning field goal, and all over the field. Vomit. Beautiful vomit all over the field there. Absolutely insane. So let's discuss the question. Should the Rams feel encouraged or discouraged by losing because their idiot kicker blew the kick? Well, listen, I'm going to be totally honest. I thought Seattle was going to win the game by more than 1 point. I was surprised. The Rams actually covered the point spread. They were underdogs by a point and a half. They won the bet. But if you bet on the Rams, you won by a half a point. Consider yourself lucky. And there were some fluke, wild things. But Greg Zuerlein, who started the game by hitting a 47-yard field goal, a 32-yard field goal, and then with the game in the balance, he had an opportunity to win the game, and Zippo. But the Rams were amazingly the more productive team on offense there, which is insane. But you got to be discouraged. My thoughts: you've got the getaway car bookended and the genie in the bottle, and we will put all of these things together. Now, there is no such thing as a moral win. I mean, a moral victory. You won the game. Congratulations. You lost, but you won. No, it's not true. It's not how I'm not wired that way. I know that a lot of people like their participation ribbons and all that. I don't like that. The Rams did not play well enough. You can say that 52 of the 53 players played well enough and one didn't, but that's how it works. That's how adults adjudicate these kind of outcomes. Greg Zuerlein sucked at a time you cannot suck. And the player who has all these cute nicknames, so cute. Oh, Greg the Leg, right? Legatron.
Who?
Yeah. Okay. You know what that was? Sabotage. He sabotaged the Rams from a win. The Rams had pulled off the perfect crime, the bank heist. They had a the Rams had gone to Seattle, had stolen a game from the Seahawks after a horrible game against the Buccaneers. They had pulled off the perfect bank heist, and then they got into after the perfect robbery, they get in the getaway car, and the car's out of gas. I mean, that's essentially what happened. They got in, they put all their gold coins they got, they put that in there, and then they went to the Greg Zuerlein car, and it ran out of gas. And pathetic. Just absolutely pathetic. It's insane. So, unable to stop Russell Wilson. Now, Wilson played wonderfully the entire night, but if you saw this game, the L.A. Rams, with no timeouts, in a minute 27, matriculated the ball all the way from their own 7-yard line, and the much maligned and rightfully criticized Jared Goff helped orchestrate a 77-yard 10-play drive all the way down to the Seattle 26-yard line that set the Rams up for what should be a professional kicker's dream. Not a chip shot, but not a 55-yarder to win the game. Certainly a reasonable field goal distance, right? It's from you get to the 26 of Seattle. That's a 43-yard field goal attempt. And then only to have Greg Zuerlein. He didn't go double doink. He just went just a little bit outside. Just a little bit outside the goalpost. Missed it by that much. And so he's got to own it. He blew the game. Wear the dunce cap. Go to detention. You're in timeout. It's a bad job by you. Now, part B of this, as the better story is in the losing locker room, for the Rams, it is a mixed bag. The game featured a lot of twists and turns. They corrected a number of mistakes they made against Tampa Bay. They played careless football against the Buccaneers. They were much sharper in this game. They were much sharper in this game. Now, it was not perfect. They had 6 penalties in the game, and there was also the fumble. Yeah, Todd Gurley lost a fumble there early. But at least Jared Goff, he had an interception, which was like a ballerina move by the Seattle defensive player to pick off that pass from Jared Goff. But other than that, he did not fumble the ball. Baby steps. Baby steps. So they did fix a lot of things. But it's the old shoulda, coulda, woulda, won the game but didn't win the game. And Jared Goff and Sean McVay teamed up on 7 drives that went 50 or more yards. That is damn impressive. That's like the old Sean McVay before people started ripping him. 7 drives of 50-plus yards for the Rams in this game. And that last one, I mean, that was a masterpiece. But Jared Goff was erratic, and he was spotty with his performance here. The final 77-yard drive was, it should have been Armageddon for the Seattle Seahawks defense. I mean, they were so soft. All right, that was a mountain of marshmallows, was the Seattle defensive front. The Legion of Boom ain't walking through that door. Those guys aren't very good. And only to find salvation, right? To find salvation because of a blown field goal. And remember, we always say this, one of my mantras: most games are lost, not won. This game wasn't won by Seattle. They allowed the Rams to drive down the field and get into a reasonable field goal position. And it's not like they blocked the kick. They didn't. They merely were fortunate because the guy on the other side choked. Didn't do his job. And so it's a perfect example. Now, Jared Goff, here's the way I would report on his performance. If you didn't see the game because you're watching the baseball game, or maybe you just had something else going on, he bookended crap around dominance. Does that make sense? Like, he was horrible at the start, and for most, even with the 77-yard drive in the fourth quarter, not great. But in between, he was very efficient and very good. In fact, what's my evidence? Let's go to the stats. All right, Jared Goff, in the first and fourth quarters combined, he had a 53.7 passer rating and 14 incompletions, just 6.4 yards per attempt. That's it. That was in the middle. That was in the first and fourth quarter. In the middle of the game, he was wonderful. You know, you think of a food dish where the middle part, like the, to me, a cinnamon roll. There are few things as a human being that taste better and are more enjoyable than the middle part of a cinnamon roll, right? Everyone, yeah, that's right. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
And Jared Goff tasted, his performance was like the middle part of a cinnamon roll. Just gooey, cinnamon, sugary goodness. I mean, it was wonderful. In the second and third quarter, he averaged 9.8 yards per attempt, 217 yards passing, had a passer rating of 118.9 in the second and third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, don't ask. But you know, he started and finished the game like garbage until that final drive. And Todd Gurley, who started the game with Sean McVay, was hell-bent to give Gurley the ball early and often. And then in the second half, Todd Gurley was nowhere to be seen. It's like they decided, all right, we've used Todd Gurley enough here, and we don't want to use him too much in the second half. We want to save him for next week. We want to save him for next week. Todd Gurley in the second half had 6 rushing attempts. I'm surprised he had that many. It didn't seem like he even had that many in this game. But held in check again, 51 yards, 3.4 yards per carry. Had a couple of touchdowns. And so the Rams, the other thing about the Rams is their defense gave up 5 drives of 50-plus yards. So they were bad also. And they were stupefied by Russell Wilson in this game. And he was great. He was wonderful. He only had 6 incomplete passes. Although the Rams should not have had an opportunity. Seattle, of all teams, is always known as a run. They got cute. They attempted a pass on that third down. Didn't work out. That allowed the Rams the opportunity to matriculate the ball down the field and get in position for what should have been the game-winning kick. And what was the game-winning kick, and it didn't go in. And Russell Wilson averaged almost 12 yards per attempt. Had 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, was only sacked 1 time. Last thing here. So we're talking about mostly the Rams here. The Rams are not dead yet. This is obviously not what they were hoping for. This is a setback. But they actually did, as I mentioned, cover the spread for you gamblers by 0.5 point. And now they have the 49ers this coming next weekend in week number 6 in the NFL. So that's a big spot for them. But this game was really a coin flip. The Rams won the stat sheet in many ways, but they lost the game, very reminiscent of the Cincinnati game Seattle played, where statistically, although this was much closer, the margins were very thin. The Rams had 477 yards of offense. Seattle had 429. It was a fun game. It was a fun game. Would have been more fun if the other team had won, for me, but for you, maybe not. If you're a Seahawks fan, you're like, I love this. This is wonderful. This is great. It doesn't get better than this. And there were only 7 punts in the game, which is good. I've watched some games. It seems like there's 7 punts in the first quarter of some of these games. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show on Fox. Let's hear from some of the key figures around this game. Sean McVay, the Rams are 2-2. What do you have to say about that?
You know, we started 3-2 a couple years ago, and we lost to Seattle in week 5 as well. And so there's 5 weeks in. There's 11 weeks for sure left. So for us, we're just going to continue to look at it one day at a time, try to get better. We'll try to get a little bit we'll get healthier with a couple days off, and then we'll come back ready to play a really good San Francisco 49ers team.
All right, so we'll take it 24 hours in a day, 1 hour at a time, 60 minutes at a time, 60 seconds at a time, 1 second, 1 microsecond at a time. All right. Well, he's very positive. That's how he got hired. He's the positive, happy guy. The sky is not falling. Everything is good here and all that. Here's more from Sean McVay, who points out that the future is bright.
There's a lot of things to look forward to. Is it disappointing? Absolutely. But it's not something that's going to be debilitating, and it's going to prohibit our ability to move forward as a team.
We'll see about that. I saw Brandon Cooks was knocked out of the game. He got knocked silly. Apparently, literally knocked out. One report said for Brandon Cooks, the Rams wide receiver. But all I'll say about the Rams is this. This was not a good night for them because they lost the game. It's never a good night when you lose. But all of the obituaries that I read about the Rams were premature. This is not a team that's dead. They're still a legit threat in the NFC. And you know their team is going to have to fix some things between now, obviously, in the playoffs. But they lost back-to-back games, but that was a much better performance. But still, a loss is a loss is a loss. And if I owned the Rams, And let's say Greg Zuerlein this weekend, or next weekend rather, against the 49ers, misses a kick again that would have won the game. I cut him. He's got one more mulligan. All right. Actually, well, that was his last mulligan. If I own the team, that was his last mulligan in that game last night. All right, we'll take your phone calls. We got a lot of phone calls here. You want to talk about that? Obviously, the baseball playoffs with the Cardinals winning, and it's on my list. What a dog performance by the big star, the Atlanta Braves. Arf, 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 arf. Very impressive. You know, good offensive day, and you know, you hustle. Who needs to hustle? You don't need to do the hustle. You don't have to do the hustle, do you? No, of course not. And the Dodgers, a blowing up of the Washington Nationals, a demolition situation there. It's like our guys in Minnesota, the demo guys, blowing up the Nationals. That was about as good as you can start the Major League Baseball playoffs for the Dodgers, as they were showing again why they will be back in the World Series. It's that old 7-11 thing. I know they're going to win 7 because they'll win the National League pennant, but to win the World Series, you got to win 11. That's the problem. But I know they'll get to 7. I know they'll be in the World Series. I don't know about those last four, especially if they play the Yankees. They'll beat the Astros, but if they play the Yankees, I don't know about that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hope you're doing well. Good night in sports on Thursday. A lot of stuff to discuss, and that's why we are bloviating the night away. Game one of the National League Divisional Series at Chavez Ravine. I hope you watched, but maybe not. Ernie Johnson and Frenchie. I've not heard the word Frenchie as much as I heard the word, Frenchie. What do you think of this, Frenchie? Man. I guess they don't want to say Francoeur. It's easier to say Frenchie. Less syllables. But if you watch the NFL game, and that was a good game. Seattle being handed a gift by the Ram kicker, missing what a professional kicker should never miss from that range to end the game. Bad job by Greg Zuerlein. So Seattle lost but won at the same time. But my right hand, I said this earlier, getting a workout. I was going back and forth nonstop, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was great. I was texting with a bunch of people about that, some of the Dodger people that I know, and going back and forth. Although I would have preferred if they'd staggered the start times a little bit. It would have made it a little easier for me, but they didn't. They didn't ask me, unfortunately. I was like a racquetball player going from side to side, right, trying to hit the ball back with the Dodger game and the Rams game and all that stuff. But in the baseball game, Walker Buehler, it was not his day off. It was his day on. 6 strong, one-hit innings. The Dodger lineup, they had the patience of a saint, or in this case, the patience of a baseball player. 7 walks, the Nationals. Very generous of Patrick Corbin and friends to walk 7 Dodger hitters. Thank you for that. Gift, 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 gift. And then the Dodger bullpen, as we anticipated, outpitched the beleaguered Washington bullpen by a ton. And that's the story of the game. So the Dodgers won 6-0. It was not even that close. But let us discuss the question, what are the big takeaways from the start, the lid lifter of the NLDS, at least the Dodgers and the Nationals? Now, my observation is you've got the magnum opus, the insurance salesman, and the Holy Bible. And we'll combine all of these things together. Now, number one, this was a...
Number one.
Thank you. A showstopper from Walker Buehler. I mean, this guy, Nationals are not a good team as far as they're not a championship team. They're a playoff team, but they're lucky to be there. They're not a real threat in the National League. So you can't get too worked up. But Buehler was he good. And he made Dave Roberts and Andrew Friedman look like the smartest men in the room for deciding to go with him in game one and not Clayton Kershaw, who's going to pitch in game two, or Hyun-Jin Ryu, who will start game three on Sunday in Washington. And it was awesome. It was a breathtaking performance by Buehler. The magnum opus, if you will. It was a work of art as far as pitching, as much as pitching can be an art. And he was electric. 6 innings, 1 hit, 3 walks, no runs, 8 strikeouts, 100 pitches. Got 17 called strikes, 18 swinging strikes from Walker Buehler. And he wasn't always in the zone. He had 62 out of the 100 pitches were strikes in the zone. And so he had a fair amount of strategic pitches outside the strike zone. But not only was it great, it was a historic start as a playoff pitcher now when you compile what Buehler did on Thursday and what he has done in his young big league career. Walker Buehler, they have a stat for everything in baseball. The baseball wonks, there's a whole clan of these people with all their statistics. But Walker Buehler, the first pitcher in baseball history to strike out at least seven batters in each of his first five career postseason appearances. He's number one all time. You know who is number two, who he passed? Bob Gibson, Hall of Famer Bob Gibson from the old St. Louis Cardinals. Bob Gibson is the only other pitcher to have four games like Walker Buehler has had. That's it. But Buehler's not done it. His first five career playoff games. So when you're in the same rarefied air, the same paragraph as Bob Gibson, boy, you're doing something right. You're doing something right. And that's Walker Buehler right now. I mean, the guy's not the most exciting interview in the world, but he's doing a hell of a job here. He's doing a very good job. Absolute. There's no question about it. Now, as we press on here, the second thing, you know, we need a jingle that says, number two. We need a jingle that says that. Can we find one of those? We should try to find a jingle that says, number two. So number two, this was an encouraging night for the Blue in multiple ways. They hit the daily double. The two big concerns, and these are going to continue to be the concerns for the Dodgers, for me, going forward. The two concerns for the Dodgers are the ability to score runs without hitting home runs, creating offense when you don't hit home runs, and also the much maligned bullpen. And the Dodgers' first four runs they scored were without a dinger, without the benefit of a long ball, and then Gavin Lux hit a home run in the eighth inning, a solo shot. And how about Max Muncy, who continues, right, to be out there as a standout postseason performer? He ain't a choking dog like Yasiel Puig was quite a lot. Or really, I guess the better name would be Yasmani Grandal.
Cody Bellinger.
Now, Bellinger's another guy that's been a bum. But Max Muncy is the insurance salesman. You know why? He might as well work for Geico, because he provided that at-bat in the seventh inning. All right, it's 2-0 game, seventh inning, big two-strike, two-out, two-run ribby single that gave the Dodgers offense a little bit of cushion, a little bit of insurance there. Compliments of Max Muncy. And then the bridge over troubled waters was solid as Kenta Maeda, of all people, the secret weapon, the lethal Kenta Maeda. He overmatched. He doesn't normally overmatch hitters. He overmatched the Washington Nationals, which shows you a lot, tells you a lot about the Nationals. But Maeda in particular was regal in that performance. That's a word I'll use, regal, how good he was. And all those things are positive. Joe Kelly pitching gas in the ninth inning, and the secret sauce for the Dodgers, it's been this way over the last 7 years, is to foul off a lot of pitches, extended bats, get pitchers uncomfortable, get them fatigued, and they become a liability, and then you can pounce and destroy them. It's like a rattlesnake with its prey, and just squeeze it to death. The death squeeze, like an anaconda. The Dodgers have the ability to do that with this offense. And a hodgepodge of replaceable players and all that. And the Dodgers able to get into that Nationals bullpen. I mean, that's got to be how this is done. The Nationals starting pitching is not bad, but their bullpen is terrible. Their lineup isn't that good. But the Nationals, to win a couple of games in this series, are going to have the starter go 7 or 8 innings and dominance. And that's about the only way that they're going to be able to do it. Now, the final point on this. So Washington, the better story is in the losing locker room, but I'm a Dodger guy, so I wanted to talk more about the Dodgers. But the Washington Nationals were not only a baseball team, they were overwhelmed by the Dodger pitching in this. It was like a government lockdown situation is what it was. And I thought I was at the mall. I have a rule with my wife. Sometimes we'll go out on the weekends and she'll want to go to the mall or something like that. And the rule is always, I'm willing to go to the mall, but I need pretzels. I need like a little bag of pretzels or something like that. And so I always get pretzels. The national lineup was twisted into a pretzel by Dodger pitching in this game. They were completely flummoxed for most of the day. Washington had one hit over the first eight innings of the game. They had one hit. That's it. Juan Soto, a harmless base hit to right center field in the second inning. And that was the only hit up until Trey Turner hit a double off Joe Kelly in the ninth inning. But the entire Nationals team, the word is groggy. They were groggy. They reminded me of the baseball version of how Cincinnati looked the other day on Monday Night Football. Like the Bengals didn't really want to be there. I'm not saying the Nationals didn't want to be there, but they had two errors and two hits in the game. A professional team in the postseason with two errors and two hits equal. And if one play, and we don't often remember a lot of this stuff, but if one play stands out, it's Howie Kendrick, who pulled a Buckner and had the ball scoot through his legs at first base. And, boy, how embarrassing. I mean, that is just, I mean, how do you live that one down? I mean, right between your legs, Howie Kendrick, man, it's a bad job by him. He's always been more of an offensive player than a defensive player, and backing that up again. And so now the Dodgers will throw Clayton Kershaw on the mound and hope for the best. And I recommend pulling out the Holy Bible because when Kershaw pitches in the playoffs, you need some extra help when he's on the mound because it normally is a dicey proposition. And Kershaw's been giving up sporadically runs early in games. And Steven Strasburg is pitching for Washington. So I've always said this, and I said the other day, and I'll say it, I'll repeat it as long as I'm here. The only advantage you have, the only real advantage you have in baseball on the road is the opportunity to be a front runner, to score first, play with the lead, put pressure on the other team. And so Washington's going to have an opportunity in this game on Friday to do that. They can be the alpha. They can be the aggressor. And if they can score first, they can make the Dodgers the omega if they're able to get on the board first. But it's an odd decision to start Kershaw instead of Hyunjin Ryu. Because, you know, you win game two, the Nationals have to beat you three times in a row. It ain't happening. Now, the Dodgers could still win game two with Kershaw. He can go out and pitch seven innings of one-run baseball and be great and wonderful and all that. But if I was running the team, I would have gone with Hyunjin Ryu. Now, I mentioned the better story in the losing locker room. Davey Martinez, the Nationals manager. Here's Davey Martinez pointing out that this was not a masterpiece by his team.
We didn't play very well today. Walked a lot of guys, chased a lot of bad pitches. I think at one point I got to look, but we were way over 20 pitches that we chased, and that's uncharacteristic of our team. Usually we don't chase. We make guys throw the ball in the zone. Today we chased a lot. Couldn't get nothing going offensively. When you have those two combinations where you're walking guys and not hitting, it's tough to win ball games.
Yeah, it's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. I mean, they were a hot mess. A multitude of sins for the Washington Nationals offensively and the pitching and all that. They were up poop creek without a paddle is what they were. All right, this is the Ben Maller Show on Fox as we press on here. We'll take your phone calls if you'd like to be part. The lines are jammed up right now, but you can be part of it. And the number when a line opens up, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. So it's not a dire situation yet for the Nationals. If they lose game two, it is a dire situation for the Nationals. So that's kind of where, you know, game one, it's like, you know, it is only a five-game series, but still an opportunity.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right, let's get to it. Here we go.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. Yeah. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, third degree time, and we go over to the Coop Da Loop.
There was a report that came out Wednesday that said Jalen Ramsey's real issue with the Jaguars is Tom Coughlin. Now, yeah. Ben, we already know that Shad Khan doesn't want to trade Ramsey, So if you were Khan, is there any chance that you would get rid of Coughlin to appease Ramsey?
Well, Eddie, we brought this up the other day, and we talked about this, but to expand on it, I said no, and the reason why, I mean, Shad Khan, A, believes that he is such a people person, he's going to be able to take care of business here, that you know, they'll get into a room, Khan on one side of the table, and then Jalen Ramsey on the other, and they'll have a heart-to-heart, man-to-man conversation, and Jalen Ramsey will start singing Kumbaya around the fire, roasting marshmallows, and they'll hug it out, and it'll be great and wonderful and all that. So that's I truly believe Shad Khan thinks it's going to be like a religious retreat with Jalen Ramsey, and everything will be really good and right in the world. And B, when push comes to shove, if Jalen Ramsey continues to rebel, continues the descent, and refuses to play, and that's certainly what many people believe, that he's not really injured. He's faking an injury because he doesn't want to play right now because they lied to him. They said they were going to trade him. He played in the Tennessee game. They didn't trade him after the game, and so now he's like, I'm done. I'm not going to play anymore. I'm going to come up with an injury. Guy had never missed a game his entire career. All of a sudden, he had the flu one day, was vomiting. He had a back injury the next day, and then his baby mama drama. He had to go with the birth of his kid. I mean, one excuse after another. So if that continues, if I'm running Jacksonville, you are forced to make a deal. And you know, rather than continue to go through the donkey show, which is going on right now, but for a guy that showed up in a Brinks truck to training camp, remember that? Jalen Ramsey here, I mean, you hate to trade him because you're not going to get any kind of player for him. You're just going to get some draft picks. But that's not going to help you right now. So I would do everything I could not to trade him. But if this continues, obviously he's gone. All right, next. It's going to have to happen in the next month. The trade deadline is at the end of the month before Halloween.
Ben, the Denver Broncos are 0-4. I
heard about that, Koopa Loop. Yeah.
It already seems like a lost season.
Didn't you get upset when I said they would be lucky?
Let me ask that question, Ben.
Okay. I just want to point out, Coop, I said they'd go lucky if they went 6-10, and Coop said, no, yeah. He laughed at me.
Many fans and local media are saying a tank job would be best now. However, in order to successfully tank, you should stockpile draft picks. Should the Broncos consider trading Von Miller and other vets?
All right, so number one, everything is on the table at this point. John Elway, if he keeps the job, is facing a pandemonium of outraged Bronco apologies here. And Denver is just good enough to lose close. Now, I have always had the belief that bad teams lose close games. A lot of sportscasters like to say, oh, you're just close to being a good team. No, the good teams win close games. They make the plays in close games. The bad teams do not. You know, the Rams were a bad team right now the last couple weeks. They had a chance to win the game, opportunity to win the game, and Greg Zuerlein choked in that game. But as far as the Broncos are concerned, you shouldn't fully tank because even if the Broncos try, they're not going to go 0-16. They're not as bad as the Dolphins. They're not as bad as the Redskins. Now, I know those teams play each other, but you can't go full collapse mode. And I would keep Von Miller, although he hasn't done anything. He has not.
He had 2 sacks in the last game, Ben.
What about the other 3 games?
That's Fangio's fault.
Okay. All right, but I wouldn't trade Von Miller. I would trade some of the other guys, but I would not trade Von Miller. He's an elite player. He's a Hall of Fame talent, and you're not going to get a player like that. And it's not like Von Miller is causing problems where he wants to be traded. And I always thought in the NFL, you can reinvent yourself year to year. All right, next.
When the press starts asking you about your job status, you know things are not going well. Dan Quinn of the Falcons talked around those questions Wednesday. Ben, does he survive the season?
Well, I mean, obviously the jury is still out on Quinn. He's on the hot seat. Arthur Blank considered firing him and didn't do it in the offseason. So he's already at his wit's end with Dan Quinn. And the Falcons are lucky they have one win, right? That win against Philly was a gift from Nelson Aguilar and that other receiver for the Eagles that essentially hand-delivered the win to Matty Ice and the Falcons. And secondly, the only way that Dan Quinn keeps that job in Atlanta is if the Falcons have an awakening, right? Have a come-to-Jesus moment and all that on the field and dominate, which I don't see any way. They are an amateur team We'll have Benny versus the Penny up on the podcast on Friday, but they don't tackle well. They don't intimidate anyone. They're a soft football team, which is a big indictment of anyone in football to say you're a soft team. I just don't see a scenario where they get better. So Dan Quinn is toast. All right, there it is, Maller to the third degree. How did we do?
Ben, I was ready to fail you, you know, with that second question, but
wow.
I agree with you. You pass again.
Have some pizza. I love it. It's good producing by you, Coop. You've finally seen the light. It's a good job by you. I had to beat you down for a couple years, but finally you've come around. And I'd even say you're a borderline Bennett.
Oh, God.
I'd even say that. You're a borderline Bennett.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Knock, knock. Who's there? Lame week. Lame week who? It's Big Ben's lame joke of the week.
All right, lame jokes of the week. You know the drill. Let's just, I don't want to waste any time. I want to get right to the jokes. Eddie, where are average products made?
I don't know where.
At the Satisfactory. It's Eek in Roseville, Minnesota. What do you call someone who refuses to fart in public?
I don't know.
A private tutor. It's from Just Josh in Cincinnati who sent that one in. Why have a lot of Americans stopped watching NASCAR?
I don't know. Why is that?
They got a hamster instead, so they're all right. That's from Surfer Todd, the comedian. Do you know where Marcel in Brooklyn's favorite Kennedy fried chicken is located?
No, I don't.
On the grassy knoll.
Oh.
He's a big fan there. That's from Hillbilly Mike, who sent that one in. That was one of the highlights of the week from Marcel in Brooklyn. What did Drew Brees do to save himself in the bayou?
I don't know.
He gave the croc the finger. No? Sorry, Randy, you did not win applause here. Did you hear that Jason Witten has only fumbled 9 times in his career?
No, I did not hear that.
Apparently, they don't count the 17 times he fumbled on Monday Night Football last year.
Noticed his hair is gone now.
Oh, is he back? Yeah,
that squirrel on his head ran away.
Yeah, he's got that nice do-rag on there, the fake hair. All right, what is the only thing lower than Jared Goff's quarterback rating?
I don't know. What's lower than
his glove size, Eddie? That's a Bill... Bill from Iowa. Did you see the Oakland A's thought they were at a strip club on Wednesday night instead of a wild card playoff game?
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, they were only laying down singles, Eddie. That's all they were laying down. That's just Josh. Thank you. Why can't you make jokes about my tongue, Eddie?
I don't know. Why can't you joke about that?
Because they're tasteless, Eddie. They're tasteless jokes. Did you hear about the quarterback? That was from the Gagon account. Did you hear about the quarterback preparing to use the silent count for the entire game?
I did not hear about that, no.
Yeah, apparently Tua has a sore tongue-o-viloa after listening to this show.
Oh, jeez.
It's Kurt from Earth. What do you have over there, Koopaloop?
I'm a doctor.
What's Ben Maller's least favorite food?
I don't know.
Tongue!
That's true. I don't like tongue. I don't eat the tongue.
All right, I have one more.
Who was that from?
That was from Joe in San Antonio.
Oh, screw him. Astros fanboy.
Yeah, you know, there was the female cop that was on trial for murder this week.
I saw that. Yeah, she went to jail for a while, right?
Yeah, she took the stand in her own defense. She said all those apartments look the same.
Wow. Wow. Unbelievable. How did... It's weird.
That was from Just Josh.
It's weird doing jokes about me, but how did I describe the condition of my tongue after getting it checked out by Dr. Justin Cooper?
I don't know. How did you describe it?
Well, Dr. Cooper said that Maller had third-degree burns all over his tongue.
I like that.
Yeah, that's the gag on account. As you know, I burned my tongue, Eddie.
Yes, that's what we've heard.
Yeah, Antonio Brown says that's no big deal. You should try freezing your feet. That's pretty funny. That's Alex the Cynical. Good job by you. What do I, Ben Maller, and Stormy Daniels have in common?
Oh, well, I'm not going to say it. I don't know, Ben.
Well, we never let a sore tongue slow us down, Eddie. That's true. All right, come on. That's Kurt from Earth. Actually, that was Gordon in Tacoma. Gordy, good job by you, Gordy. Gordon in Tacoma. Did you know Coop has his own podcast.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, it's called The Eighth Hour, is what it's called. So Kurt from Earth, thank you for that. Did you hear that Roberto rewrote the national anthem to appease the blind people?
I did not.
Yeah, it now starts with, Jose, can you see?
That's
the gag on account. Let's see here. You got something over there, Coop?
Right. How does Dick and Dayton stay up for a Browns game?
I don't know.
A little blue pill.
Wow. Did you know that, this is for you, Roberto, did you know that Mexicans are embracing the Jacksonville Jags in droves, Eddie?
Well, I didn't know that. That's weird.
Yeah, they heard that Jacksonville's quarterback is a gardener. Hillbilly Mike, how dare you? I thought that was... That was like, I expected it to be one of our guys in Cincinnati who sent that joke in. What do you get when you mix both birth control and LSD?
Birth control and LSD, what do you get?
A trip without kids is what you get. That's just Josh who sent that in. How do you turn a dishwasher into a snowblower?
I don't know. How do you do that?
You hand her over a shovel there, and you're good to go. That's a Bill from Iowa who sent that one in.
I'm a doctor.
Did you hear that Adrian Peterson and Weed Man Hippie will do a sitcom together next year?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it'll be called Two Broke Men. That's from Tom from Fullerton who sent that in. Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. What is a foolproof way to make a killing in the stock market?
I don't know. Tell me.
Shoot your broker. That's from Eek in Roseville, Minnesota. In an effort to collect money, Weed Man Hippie has been on street corners singing.
Is that right? What is he singing?
A person actually gave him $10 and told him to sing somewhere else. It's the gag on account. What kind of eye is Weed Man Hippie?
I don't know. What kind of eye is he?
A lazy eye. That's from Anthony in Anaheim. How ugly is Weed Man?
I don't know. How ugly is he?
His portraits hang themselves. That's how ugly he is. Boy, Anthony's pretty funny. Why did the cement laugh at Bartolo Colon when he fell?
I don't know why.
It cracked up, Eddie. It cracked up. Anthony in Anaheim again. The owner of the Steelers, Raiders, and Patriots all have the same blood type, Eddie.
I didn't know that.
It's AB negative.
Yeah.
That's the gag on account. Yeah. All right. We'll have a few more on the other side, Eddie, because I have more good jokes here.
Oh, thank God.
We have continuous jokes. Joe coverage.